B-Pod Studios.
With the air attack becoming more hazardous, Miami turned to its broad back ground soldiers to put the game away. So now they turn to their brutally basic inside game, pounding away from tackle to tackle for short, savage gains. And then number 39, Larry Zonka, led number 21, Jim Kick, to a sliver of end zone daylight, and the half of Dolphin domination ended 14-0.
Pleasure to have this guy on the air, a member of the undefeated 17-0 Miami Dolphins, and part of like a three-man backfield that just ate it up that year. It's a pleasure to have Jim Kick on the phone. Hi, Jim.
How you doing, guys?
Great. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Tell me first of all, before the whole thing gets going, when we were talking about you coming on, talking about Larry Zonka, Jim Kick, Butch, and Sundance, how did that whole thing get started?
Well, at that time, the local movie, I mean, the movie was out, the Butch and Sundance, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and
yeah.
A local newspaper writer, Bill Broucher, who wrote for the Miami Herald, I guess, movie, and saw a lot of similarities between their characters and myself and Larry.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, they were in a serious business, in the bank robbing business, but they took everything very lightheartedly and enjoyed what they were doing and made light of everything. And I think that's the way Larry and I played football. We loved playing the game.
That's the way you lived life, too. That's the way you lived life, too, though. You guys, I've seen many a Larry Zonka interview talking about those days. You guys were wild men.
Well, we enjoyed, life on and off the field.
Yes,
so,
you did.
You know, that was just our personalities. We had fun, and I believe we still enjoy life.
Don Shula got a lot of criticism back in 1972 to want to have a three-man backfield running the football, but it worked out beautifully in those years, didn't it?
Well, you know, he was way ahead of his time. It became a little specialization. Obviously, Merck did some things that I couldn't do, and I think I did some things that Merck couldn't do, and, you know, we intertwined with each other, and I think the criticism came from myself and Merck because we both wanted to play more and do more, but we both knew that for the better of the team, you know, that working in together was much better. And I think that's the difference between today's players and players a long time ago. Our main concern was what we did as a team.
Sure.
Where today, sometimes they're more concerned with their individual statistics.
You would never have Jim Kick writing a book called Just Give Me the Damn Ball.
No, not exactly that way. I would like to have the damn ball, but I understand what's better for the team. I like, you know, I was honest with reporters, but I never criticized. Certainly, it'd be pretty stupid on my part to criticize Shula when it is accomplished.
How did you get along with Don Shula? You know, whenever we talk to some of the old Miami Dolphins who played their entire career with Don Shula, of course you didn't. We'll talk about the WFL in a second, Jim. But, Don Shula, revered by his players. Did you get along with Don, and are you among that group that thinks that, hey, Shula was the best?
Well, looking back at it, you know, he's certainly one of the best. I mean, his record's probably never be broken. I'd be honest with you, it was a product of the 60s, and I was sort of rebellious, and unfortunately, there was not a wrong way or right way. It was Shula's way, and sometimes we didn't always agree. But, you know, the difference was also there was a line of respect that I didn't cross, and you know, I think he respected my opinion, whether he agreed with it or not. He respected it and then told me no. But, you know, obviously his accomplishments make him one of the best coaches, if not the best coach ever in the history of the NFL. And for me to do downgrade him would be ludicrous. But I get along with him much better now that he's not my boss.
So you run into him from time to time, huh?
Oh, yeah. We, you know, we do a lot of charity events together. We run into each other in the golf course, and we still, you know, bust chops a little bit. I remember the first time I ever played golf with him about 1971, 72, and we played together. And I went up to him. I said, Coach, you know, you're the only guy I know who's got such a big ego that says he's a 15 handicap in order to 35. And, you know, the words out of his mouth are not repeatable on any on radio or TV.
Hey, tell me about going into 74, 75. You, Paul Warfield, Zonka, you all decided to make the jump to that new upstart league, the WFL. Had to do it over again. Were you glad you took the money, or would you have said, hell no, knowing now, there's no way I would have done that?
No, it's I don't look back, and because I know it doesn't do any good, and I can't change anything. The money was so phenomenal in comparison. I would have had to play another 10 years in the NFL at my current salary at that time to equal what I made in 6 months. So
sure. And did they pay? Did they pay all that money? You know, I read stories about the old American Basketball Association signing guys like Julius Erving and all that, and to this day, a lot of those players still haven't gotten all their money.
Well, they pay the majority of it. A lot of it was up front, and then we played, you know, the first year. And so we got, even in that payment, I still would have had to pay another 10 years to join the NFL. Plus, we felt like we were pioneers. You know, it almost doubled the salaries in the NFL at that time. And it's not that we abandoned the Miami Dolphins. We called Joe Robbie and asked him to give us a call to show that there was still some interest. We weren't asking him to equal the demand, certainly, but just to give us a call and say, yes, we would like to speak to you. We still want you on the team. And we never got a return phone call.
So really?
At that particular time, we decided, well, if there's not enough interest to give us a phone call, we'll take the offer.
Wow. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Because you guys got a lot of heat back in those days for jumping off the championship team.
Yeah, we did, but again, it's something, you know, football is a short-lived career, and
make your money where you can.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, you know, I mean, that's what players are doing today. I don't think there's much loyalty. You know, they complain about the players' loyalty, but, you know, when an owner can pick up and move from one city to another, there's not much loyalty on the owner's neither. So you never know with injuries. You never know what can happen. So
make your money.
It's an opportunity to benefit monetarily myself and my family. And at that
sure.
particular time was the most important thing.
Do you still have maybe framed somewhere in your house the Sports Illustrated cover?
Oh, yeah. I got both covers, yeah. The one with Zonka indicating he was number one. Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing. I go to these signings and how many Sports Illustrated covers are around. I mean, I signed 200-300 of them at these things. And it's a pretty amazing. And all Zonk was doing was indicating we were number one. That's all.
Everyone knows that when the WFL folded, Zonka went back to the NFL, played a few years with the Giants, finished his career off with the Dolphins in 79. What became of your career after that?
I went to Denver, played in Denver for 2 years. And then retired and came back down here and actually finished my career. The Washington Redskins called me up, and they had a lot of injured running backs, and they wanted somebody that could come in and learn the system quickly and help out. And I ended up going up there and playing 8 weeks and living with Billy Kilmer and Jake Scott, which was
more fun.
It was like playing a whole year.
I bet. I've heard stories about those guys.
They were all true.
My partner Haney over here, who is a Don Shula, a huge Shula fan, still bitter over Jimmy Johnson taking over the reins, practically saying for a year in advance that he was going to grab a hold of the Miami Dolphins. What do you think of the job Jimmy Johnson's doing?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a very big Jimmy Johnson fan myself. You know, I'm certainly going to knock his accomplishments because every place he's been, he's succeeded. But I think sometimes he talks a little too much and you know, I didn't like certain incidents, the way he handled Dan Marino, mm-hmm. His situation. And, you know, I mean, sometimes talking gets you in trouble. And obviously this year, you know, a lot of people were expecting a lot more. And, you know, you need a good coach, but you're only as good as your players, too. So, you know, obviously they need a few additional players in key positions. So, you know, who knows? We'll say this next year will be a big test.
Sure.
You know, people expect a lot more out of this team after 3 years, and other coaches were able to get that out of the team.
Hey, Jim,
so.
Listen, hear this philosophy out one time for me right now, and tell me if you think this is true, because I've heard this talk going around about Jimmy Johnson. Everyone's saying he's won at every level he's been at, and he's got 2 Super Bowl rings. You got to realize, when he was at Miami coaching the Hurricanes and gets them a national title, granted, he knew every single college player that was coming out of the college ranks going into the pros, and he knew when he got to Dallas who he wanted to build that football team and was very well aware of them, and thus got himself a couple of Super Bowl rings in Dallas. He does not have that luxury right now of really knowing the players and seeing the players on the college ranks like he did back then.
Well, obviously, and I think that's how he, as you said, that's how he built the Dallas Cowboys. So, he had a big advantage, and, he was smart enough to do it. I mean, there's certainly a lot of other coaches that weren't capable of doing that. But you're right, he doesn't have that luxury now. And now they basically go through the draft, and he hasn't really done that well in the draft, so he doesn't have that closeness to the college players as he did when before he went to Dallas.
Yeah,
well, that's one of the biggest misconceptions is everybody talks about what a great talent evaluator he is. There's a lot of merit to what Stan was saying. But if you look at his record, he had better pick up a Zach Thomas in the fifth round because the people he's picking in the first three are not producing, or if they're on the team at all.
I agree, but, sometimes that's very difficult. To be honest with you, Coach Shula didn't do too well in the later years, too. You can only go by your scouting system and what happens. And sometimes, sometimes I wonder how these scouts and how these teams get these players myself. Because, sometimes you have to look beyond how tall he is, how fast he is, how strong he is. You have to look inside his heart and his mental capabilities. And sometimes I think the NFL overlooks this.
Last question, Jim, before I let you go, because we're running short on time. Could a Jim Kick play for a red-faced pain in the ass Jimmy Johnson?
I don't know. I played for a dictating Don Shula, I'll be honest. Probably in my younger years, I could have played for Jimmy Johnson, but I think as I got older and more experienced, I wouldn't have put up with his crap neither, just like a lot of the older players do.
Jim Kick, thank you so much for coming on.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye. Jim Kick from the undefeated Miami Dolphins, telling it like it is.
Telling it like it is.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
lot of people ask us how the hell we've managed to stay on the air for so damn long. Well, there's a bunch of reasons, but here's two of them. Our guardian angel wears a hard hat, and Father Pete had to call in a few favors. Without that, we'd have been gone in 1998, and that's the truth.
Oh, thank you,
Stan
for that.
Stan and Haney on 96K.
That was awesome.
Talking about our time with Jim Kick. We, you know, and I, this is where you enjoy what we do, because it's where you're able to relive. Relive part of your. What are you doing?
I am entirely unsure.
Because yeah, of Jim Kick.
Yes. We were just talking about it.
But where we've had the opportunity to relive our childhood, there's not a thought when we were kids that we would ever get a chance to interview our idols. Now, we talk about the Miami Dolphins, and we were just talking just a little bit about it before we went on the air. We've spoken with so many of the Dolphin greats over the years. A lot of kids today, a lot of your junior millennials, look at the Dolphins as just a losing bunch of bums. When we were growing up, they were the marquee team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They were the upper crust. They were the New England Patriots. They were the best of the best for a long time. And so we look back in our lives that way. And so Jim Kick, Larry Zonka, Don Shula, we were saying Dwight Stevenson, Mercury Morris, Larry Little,
and
all of these guys we had at one time or another talked to, and I'm missing a lot of them because.
And isn't it funny how things work out, and because you're in the situation, it seems perfectly normal, but it's like, oh yeah, Larry Little, that's my buddy right there.
Yeah.
We're in a banquet room, and, you know, there's all these VIPs about and all that, and it's me, but it's me going, psst, Larry, you want to get a smoke? I'm right there with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's me and Hall of Fame, you know, left tackle Larry Little sneaking out to get a smoke.
Yeah. And here we are. We're socializing and starting friendships. You know, whether it's anybody that you interview for the first time or you meet one of your idols or something, you're minding your P's and Q's. You're trying to stay as professional as you possibly can. You spend enough time with them, their guard and your guard comes down, and that's when the crap starts to fly. And we've had the opportunity where. Afterwards, we see them again. They remember us. We remember them. And it's like we've never skipped a beat.
And I do have to say, there is a difference. What do all these guys have in common? Because I really haven't had a bad experience with a Miami Dolphin.
Yeah.
And what they all have in common is Don Shula. Yeah.
Remember, who's the late Charlie Babb? We hung out with him. A lot of players, and as I'm thinking about it, they're all starting to mm-hmm. Earl Morrill. They all just start popping into
well,
our heads.
And even before I knew you, and before we started at K-Rock, just as a very young pup, I remember at one time Mark Clayton had this. The press didn't like him because they felt like he wasn't cooperative enough with them, and that Mark Clayton has a reputation as a jerk. And they were doing a softball game on the other coast,
uh-huh.
And I went to see him and got an autograph from him. He actually went out on a probably a good 40-yard pattern for me, and I got to throw my ball to Mark Clayton.
Yeah, I mean... We're lucky in that respect.
And even in Ocala, I don't know if I've ever even told you this, They did a charity basketball game when I was in Ocala, and I went to that. And you know who was there that I hung out with?
Who?
Brian Cox.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you used to like Brian Cox.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was just what we needed at the time. Yeah.
So there you go. And when I grabbed that one from the archives, I was thinking of you. I said, Annie will get a kick out of this one.
You start talking about old school Dolphins, and it turns my brain to mush.
I know.
Because I can't concentrate on whatever's going on here and now.
Yep. That was a great time to them. I'm not getting into this right now. I'm just going to briefly glaze over it. Dave showed up today. And
I saw him in the hall, but he was too busy to talk to me.
You know what? He comes in. Everybody that saw him, whether it was Junior, Matt Mangus, people, oh, look who showed up. What are you talking about, Matt? So at any rate,
Because he was supposed to work yesterday, but he called his supervisor and said, I'd prefer to come in.
He was supposed to do his podcast Thursday. With D-Train on Sunday. Didn't do it.
Well, he had a remote, didn't he?
D-Train had to do it on Monday by himself because Dave said he had a remote. Then, which there was none.
You're saying that's an out-and-out lie.
Out-and-out lie. Then
Would he lie to D-Train?
I don't know. Well, D-Train wound up doing the Waterman podcast by himself. Then Dave has a job now in charge of vans, making sure that they're picked up and clean.
And for his first week, he really dazzled people with how hard he worked.
So what happens on Wednesday when he's supposed His second week, he calls Morgan, his supervisor.
Who's a young college gal.
Yeah, old enough to be young enough to be his daughter. And calls in sick. Then I saw her today, and I said, hey, Morgan, is Dave the Waterman coming in? Yes, he'll be in at 1 o'clock, or 1:30, okay? Well, 1:30 comes and goes, and it's about 1:40, and he comes staggering in and does the same routine. Goes to me, goes to Adam, goes to Meg. Anybody see Morgan around here? I've got stuff I've got to do. And I looked at him, and I said, then just effing do it. And so Morgan...
Well, why would he do it if he's not getting credit for it?
Oh, he gets clocked in.
Clocked in verbal credit. Yeah, to make sure everybody sees him and knows that he's
affirmations.
So Morgan comes back from lunch. I said, you know, Dave's here. She goes, I know it. What's his problem? I don't have to be here for him to start working. I said, he was looking for you, wanted to know what.
Did he have a clipboard in his hand?
No.
Walking around?
She said, I've told him to his face, I don't care that I'm out at lunch or I may not be in my office. Get to work. Still doesn't register with him. And then I brought up all of these things to him off the air, and he denies every one of them. No, he was fine yesterday. He was fine. Who told you I was sick? Did you have a remote on Monday? That's
no. Who told you that?
Who told you that? Who's telling you that kind of stuff?
Public domain.
Yep. What a stoop. I will be back. Stan and Haney. Plenty of chances to get qualified for a golf ball today. Safe word later on. Question of the week. We got stuff. Stan and Haney.
If you or someone you know suffers from an addiction to bad radio, please go to stanandhaney.com for help. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Thursday edition. Yes, even Haney and I have lapses in memory. I got a couple of corrections to make when we were talking about our memories of the great Dolphins. I referred to Charlie Babb as the late Charlie Babb. He's alive and well. And Haney, in a rare mistake, referred to Larry Little as a tackle for the Dolphins. He was a guard. Our apologies, because we have a lot of Dolphins fans out there, and they call us on this stuff. So, all right, we had a lapse of memory. And I apologize for referring to him as the late Charlie Babb. I guess he's okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So that's good to know. Plenty of chances to get qualified today for a golf ball. We're coming close to the end. We've just about got all our qualifiers. There's still a few more, and you're going to have plenty of chances today at a shot at winning a customized Stan and Haney golf cart from Carts MD in Fort Myers. When you hear Dave and I arguing, the recorded one, not the real one, be the ninth caller, and you'll get yourself qualified with a golf ball. And then on Saturday, we're all going to meet at Duffy's Sports Grill at Stony Brook Golf Club in Estero, right around 5 o'clock, give or take. And then you're going to get your golf ball, and it's going to be put on board a helicopter, a heliocopter. And then they're going to be all dropped out on the practice green. The one who's closest to the pin is going to win that customized Stan and Haney golf cart. So your chance coming up very soon. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. Wrong button. Sorry, my bad. Sorry, I hit the wrong one. Our feature is for Junior.
And now, today's Millennial Moment.
My parents keep telling me if I live at home, I have to stop ordering food from DoorDash and Bite Squad. Okay, then let's see if you can bring dinner to my room faster than they do.
That was today's Millennial Moment.
Yep. Ring a bell, Junior?
I never use any of those, yep. But I have plenty of millennial friends I have. Mm-hmm. Too relatable.
Those of you old enough to remember, most of us in this room do, Y2K. Everybody thought all hell was going to break loose with all the computers around the world when we went from 1999 to the year 2000. They said, oh, well, the computers weren't programmed to do that. Everything's going to crash. Everything's going to go down. And everything's going to be ruined. Everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. Nothing happened. We got another thing that's supposed to happen on Saturday. It's the GPS equivalent to Y2K. They say it's going to happen Saturday. GPS satellites are on a 10-digit code, which rolls over every 20 years or so. And the last time this happened was in 1999, but no one had GPS back then. So this is going to be a first-time thing come Saturday.
If you're not prepared or have an older GPS device, expect a major headache. It's the GPS version of Y2K.
It is legitimate to be concerned.
Professor Brad Parkinson of Stanford is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel. He's best known as the lead architect and developer of GPS.
GPS affects everything we do. It affects banking, cell towers, airplanes, ships, passengers in cars.
We're completely reliant upon GPS.
Dana Goward is an expert. He says GPS works by sending out timing signals.
Essentially, all of the GPS satellites are just very, very, very precise clocks.
In that signal, a timestamp.
They start counting at one.
Because the code is 10 digits, your device can only store so much before the counter rolls over and resets to zero.
It turns out it happens roughly every 20 years.
This rollover happened once before in 1999 with few problems, but this time it's different. So many more people and businesses businesses use GPS.
20 years ago, you did not have a GPS in your cell phone.
A rollover could throw off time, disrupt critical systems, not to mention your GPS could act bizarre.
If you're driving your car and it were to suddenly say that you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, be suspicious.
Yeah. Especially if you're like me and just rely strictly on the GPS. I don't look at my surroundings. I just go by what the GPS says. Jeez. Okay, where am I now? What am I doing? Here's a couple of stoops for you. This sounds like Dave and his buddy on a Saturday night. Let's take you there. Two neighbors in Arkansas got drunk over the weekend and decided to take turns shooting each other with a .22 caliber semi-automatic rifle while wearing a bulletproof vest. Drunk guy number one put the bulletproof vest on and drunk guy number two shot him. It stopped the bullet, but hurt him. I mean, it prevents you from dying. It doesn't prevent you from getting hurt. Well, he was so mad, told his buddy, "You go put the vest on, my turn." And I guess he just fired a bunch of shots.
Two next-door neighbors were at one of the men's homes sitting on the back deck drinking. They then decided to put on a bulletproof vest and took turns shooting each other. Hicks shot Ferris in the chest one time with a .22 caliber semi-automatic rifle. Ferris then took the vest off and Hicks tried it on. Now, according to the police report, Ferris was mad about getting shot and how much it hurt, so he then shot Hicks several times in his back.
I have three kids. Two of them still live at home here in livestock that's right next to them, and they shoot, you know, as many as 50 to 100 rounds at a time. I just want to make sure that it's not just left hanging, no charges. You know, there has to be something done about it with the children that were present, you know. If nothing's done, it could escalate into someone getting seriously injured next time.
You don't say.
Maybe somebody that's not on their property.
Hey, Dave, you done with your beer, man?
Yeah.
Go stand over there, all right?
You put this vest on, I'm going to shoot
you. Put it
you.
On, all right?
Let's see if it works.
Don't be a little bitch about it, all right?
You may want to try to capture this woman in this clip. I think this is the one. Yeah, this is the one. Two cars, this is great. Two cars in Los Angeles had an epic passive-aggressive standoff over a parking spot. Happened Monday night. A black car was about to back in a parallel parking spot on a random street when a silver car pulled in, and neither of them would back off.
Oh, no, it's a matter of honor now.
So what happened with this thing is somebody videotaped it. They were so determined that they were not going to let the other one get the parking spot that they just stayed there, you know, sitting back, having a smoke, drinking, staying very calm until somebody moved.
Sounds like me in Orlando traffic.
Yep, here you go.
I just saw two cars kind of like in a stalemate. It was like 10 minutes later, I looked out my window and I noticed that they're still just sitting there completely idle.
Could you see the driver?
No, they're just like on their phone sitting there, like being patient. It was like a really beautiful display of patience.
Oh my God. No.
I heard some other guy in our apartment complex scream like, "Oh my God," kind of thing. And I'm so happy it was like a nice happy ending. It was so beautiful. I wish that they would have like gotten out and like said hi to each other or something. I think everybody kind of was hoping for that. Unexpected. Very dumb. If also, I'm honest, yeah, like, this is very dumb. Like, I'm viral for watching. Also, watch sitting and doing nothing for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it lasted for 1.5 hours. until the car in front of the spot left. And then both cars were able to get a spot. All's well that ends well. This is not surprising to me in the year 2019. College basketball going on. Big Dance Final Four. The women's basketball has their championship series as well.
Well, how are they doing that? Because all the coaches have been fired because they're mean.
Well, listen to what is being said here.
They're all mean and they need to be fired.
The women's NCAA tournament.
Because they yell at girls when they double dribble.
The women's NCAA tournament is going on too, and UConn is in the Final Four, as usual with them. But their coach created some controversy this week by saying most coaches in college basketball.
Oh, it's a fact.
Most coaches are afraid of their players nowadays.
You think about it, it makes perfect sense,
and
the environment we're in.
Can't get angry at them. They can't say how they really feel. Otherwise, the players, the kids, will get the coaches in trouble by claiming, oh, you know, in this Me Too stuff, and, oh, he yelled at me, and I feel shamed, and I feel... Obviously, recent stories where coaches got into trouble being verbally abusive. Here's the coach talking about this. College coaches are afraid of their players. This is ridiculous.
Coach Oriam has said he feels like a lot of coaches are afraid of players, and by that he means afraid that the players will either transfer and leave or that they may bring different charges against the coaches if the coaches say things that the players are upset about. And he said that has impacted how coaches deal with players.
What is going on in this world?
I don't know.
What is going on?
If coach isn't in charge, what's the point of it?
Coach is supposed to be in charge.
And, you know, you think
where
about...
Where have you gone, Bobby Knight?
You think about the things that you and I have been through in life, and we're not litigious people.
No.
But if we were, good Lord. It depends on, you know, the lens that you view the world through.
This is fun. Somebody had their cell phone camera out.
And somebody wants to be a bully to me? I'm not going to go complaining, and especially when they own everything. I take them down.
Ben Stiller was on a New York subway, minding his own beeswax. And a lady on the train recognized him. She had curlers in her hair, and she made sure she took those curlers out because she couldn't believe on the subway with her was Ben Stiller, and absolutely lost her mind.
Oh my God! No! Dios me resiste! I love you so much. My phone, please. OMG. Hey, from. Oh my God. Okay, give me a video for me. Hey, here.
She's pulling curlers out of her hair.
I wonder if that ever happened to his dad.
Probably in a different kind of way.
Yeah, well, you know what he got.
You know, Jerry Stiller.
You know what he got was not the adulation. It was just, hey, where's Mira?
Yep. The great Stiller and Mira.
Yep.
All right, you superhero movie fan deal.
Well, that's the only movies that get made anymore, right?
Gotta
be a superhero.
The first trailer for the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie has come out.
Now, is that like the Joker from Batman,
yes,
or a different Joker?
No, it's a Batman Joker, right?
It's going to be a standalone film, though.
But of
him. Oh, like an origin story. Oh,
exactly.
Wow.
Here you go. Jeez. Here you go.
My mother always tells me to smile and put on a happy face. She told me I had a purpose. To bring laughter and joy to the world. Is it just me? Or is it getting crazier out there?
What?
If you smile to your fear and sorrows, you find that life is still worthwhile.
What's so funny? Just... Freak!
Gotham's lost its way. What kind of coward would do something that cold-blooded? Someone who hides behind a mask.
I used to think that my life was a tragedy. But now I realize it's a comedy.
Oh, you're excited about
that,
aren't you?
Yeah,
you're excited. I had to stifle the urge to boo through the whole thing.
Nobody laughs as the Joker better than Cesar Romero. Now, there was a Joker's laugh. Even Nicholson's laugh was better.
I'm just sick of it.
I know. This is what makes money now.
Do you remember the joy the first time you saw Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
And you know why you felt that? Because it wasn't like anything you'd ever seen.
Never saw it, yep. And I remember being in that movie theater, my jaw hanging, going, what did I just see? And it was so off the wall.
Now, that's far from the only example, but there's no room for anything.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah?
that was one that threw a curve at me.
And I know you enjoyed that movie, Very Bad Things.
Yo, yes!
But it's nice to be surprised.
By something original.
Because I guarantee you, you don't go and see that Joker movie... You still got a pretty good idea what happened.
Yep. Last night on the Tonight Show.
Why do you want to see that, Junior?
Because he likes it. It brings the comics to life.
I don't really like DC Comics, but that just looks like a really good story.
Yeah? And could you possibly imagine what that's about?
It's about the Joker. What do you mean?
Yeah?
He's a struggling stand-up comic who goes crazy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Don't judge me.
Well, that's true. You haven't seen it all.
No, I haven't.
No.
See, that's different.
Yeah.
Because it's all great to him.
It's like a toddler.
Because it's new to him.
Because when you like a mom and dad that take out their toddler for the first time, the world is their mom and dad. And when they take him out to the park for the first time to a carnival, they're mesmerized.
I forget that.
Yeah. Tonight Show last night. This is good. Jimmy Fallon brought out WWE wrestlers to read trash talk written by kids.
Nice.
And it was very good.
Now remember, these were all written by real kids here to do our first taunt. Give it up for Braun Strowman!
You want a piece of me? Do you want a piece of me? I'm going to kick your butt till you fall in the lake. And I'm not joking, because when I'm kidding, I say knock, knock.
Next up is the two-time WWE Tag Team Champion, Drew McIntyre.
I am going to shove my foot so far up your butts that you are going to be pooping toes for a week.
Next, give it up for Kofi Kingston.
Hey, check it out. You look like a potato and a chicken nugget had a baby. Oh, got it!
And finally, we have a two-time WWE World Champion, Seth Rollins!
Don't make me bake a pie and put your face in it. Because your butt is your face. And your face is your butt.
Peter Mugnorth bringing you the grab bag. We're going to take a break. I'd stick by your radio right now because you're going to hear Dave and I arguing on tape. Not real. On tape. Ninth caller will get themselves that golf ball with a number on it to be dropped from the helicopter this Saturday over there at Stony Brook. We'll be right back.
An almost Nixonian paranoia displayed prominently and proudly in a public forum. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us on a Thursday afternoon. Got one qualifier already on today's show. More to come to get a golf ball for the customized Stan and Haney golf cart from Carts MD in Fort Myers. Going to be giving away Saturday, 5 p.m. at Stony Brook. I'm going to go over prizes. We're going to take your phone calls. Two things, though, first that I have to address in the news, the world of news.
The world of news.
Yeah, the world of news.
This is the world of news.
First, I got to go national to Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is unbelievable. Investigators are trying to identify two skateboarders who were captured on security cameras defacing the Grand Rapids, Michigan grave sites of former President Gerald Ford and First Lady Betty Ford.
Why would anybody do that? You know what? It was a difficult time in this country, and he did the best he could.
An act police have called extreme vandalism. A young man and a woman with long, dark hair, both of whom appear to be teenagers, are seen in the video walking towards the gravesite at the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Library and Museum on March 27th at 4 p.m., 1 hour before the site closes. The woman kicks her skateboard into the Ford's memorial before the two hoist themselves on top of the wall. The man is then seen trying to pry and dig the metal letters that make up the inscription, "Lives Committed to God, Country, and Love." He successfully removed the letter E. The museum had just now forked over $400 to replace the missing letter. But they're vandalizing President Ford's gravesite. Unbelievable.
Stan, you've dealt with troubled youth.
Yes, I have.
What's going through their head to, A, deface any grave, but then to deface the grave of a president no one was mad at?
Nobody was mad at him. Nobody. I don't know. The only way I can describe it is Dave, when he gets into his frenzies. He can be Mr., you know, but if he's around people that are going nuts, he goes nuts.
With the ringleader. What does this net the ringleader?
I don't know.
What does he accomplish by doing that?
I used to like to break bottles and watch it shatter. Maybe he likes, and I knew that the potheads at school used to love to go to the graveyard and lie on the cool granite and knock it over. I don't know. But that's the press. That's at a library.
Library.
The other one from your hometown of Ocala.
It's not my hometown. I'll let you get away with all kinds of stuff, mister. But don't ever put that millstone around my neck.
This is causing a bunch of controversy.
Matter of fact,
in Slocala.
I had to live there for a couple of years, and I'm demanding reparations.
This, I believe I grabbed this off of NBC2. Headline. Florida mayor declares Confederate Memorial Day.
Nice.
It didn't turn out nice. A Florida mayor has declared April 26th Confederate Memorial Day, and he is facing criticism from members of the local city council. Ocala Mayor Kent Gwynn said he issued the proclamation after a request from members of the United Daughters of the Confederacy. The proclamation said April is the month the Confederacy was formed, and the state made April 26th a legal holiday as a time in which to honor the memories of those who sacrificed their lives in the war between the states. Gwynn told WKMG the day would honor those who died and who were Confederate soldiers. On Tuesday, yesterday, or I'm sorry, 2 days ago, the city council president was up in arms over the declaration.
Then you should have run for mayor, not city council.
I'm not proud of you doing a Confederacy proclamation, said Mary Sue Rich. That turns my stomach. And when people say you are a bit of a Ku Klux Klan, I'm beginning to believe it. Rich also questioned Gwynn's fitness to be mayor. Rumors that Gwynn belonged to the KKK began in 2015 after a report linked to a hacker activist group, Anonymous, claimed that Gwynn was a member of the KKK. He has denied the allegation. So I guess the city of Ocala, April 26th.
You know,
Confederate Memorial Day.
As long as it's sincere, I'm all for it. If he's doing it just to...
stir up?
Yeah, if he's doing it to poke a stick, don't do it for that.
Yeah.
But anything that is legitimately honoring American war dead, nobody should have a problem with.
I agree with that. Because you know what? Those Confederate soldiers, in the eyes of the United States of America, are Americans. They fought for a different side, but Lincoln made sure we were one union again.
And, you know, we...
But if you're doing it to stir up crap, I got a problem with it.
You see, the time of the war between the states was also the dawn of photography.
Mm-hmm.
Especially photography in the field. They could do portraits, but, you know, you'd have to sit still for several minutes and all that. And photography from the time of the war kept getting better and better and better. And I've read a lot of books, seen a lot of things about that war. And post-war, there are a lot of photos because people considered it momentous, where both Confederate and Union soldiers would come together in these commemoration ceremonies.
Yep, with the old handshake.
Yep.
Yep. I got a question for you, and I thought about this, and I'm wondering if I need to destroy the photograph. When I was 17 years old, I was at the Eastern States Exposition in Springfield, Massachusetts. And they had one of the old-time photo booths. This was 1979. And I sat and posed as a Confederate commander with the gray on, the hat on.
You put on gray face.
Yeah, I put on gray face.
When you are, in fact, a Yankee.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I've got that picture. I'm wondering.
Yeah, let's post that.
It is right now. I can go in the other room. It is postable. Is that something that We didn't think anything about that in 1979. Is that something I should be ashamed of?
Well, here's the...
It's a good picture. I looked good, damn good.
Let me tell you something. Anybody looks better wearing the gray.
Yeah, and the photograph has faded and aged, so it really looks like something that could be from, like, 1864.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting for the guy from PBS to put a voiceover with read your letters.
Yep, because here I'm 17, young kid, fighting for the Confederacy. I got to find it. If I have a little bit of time, I'll try to find it. Now, is that something that I need to burn?
No, but as far as this mayor, I wish people would think this way, because there is such an issue now with anybody that fought for the Confederacy. Would you be offended if it was to honor Union soldiers? Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah.
Well, honoring Confederate soldiers, they are viewed the same way, because following this, it didn't mean everybody sang Kumbaya. They had to put the nation back together.
That's right.
And a big part of that was recognizing that the Confederate Army would be treated the same as Union veterans.
Fact. We got to take a break. When we come back, chance for you to win, I promise. We're going to play Stan's What's on the List later today. Our question of the week. 4 o'clock safe word. More chances to get qualified with that golf ball. Stan and Haney, 96 K Rock.
4 hours of whatever is going on in their heads. Stan and Haney, 96 K Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. About 22 minutes away from your 4 o'clock safe word, which could get you $1,000 if you're our next multi-market winner. Again, we'll have that safe word coming up for you in a little bit. About an hour away from our question of the week. We're going to play a game right now, give you a chance to win. This amazes me. I was watching the news this morning, getting up, having my first cup of coffee and my first 8 smokes, and I was watching the news. New survey done. I know Junior can pass this. But it was staggering. New survey done. 33% of those surveyed could not name one of the 3 branches of our government.
Well, who was surveyed? AOC?
Well, here, 32% were able to name all 3. 33% could not name any. And then the rest were able to get, like, 1 branch of government. Junior.
That's mind-blowing. Yeah,
the 3 branches of government are?
Judicial. Executive.
Yes.
Hold on.
Come on, you got judicial.
I don't know the executive? Senate. I forget the name of it though. It's for the Senate though.
And what do they do in the Senate? What do they do in Congress?
They elect people to the Electoral College.
they pass.
Junior.
Oh, pass laws.
Yes.
You're effing right with us, aren't you?
Oh, no. No.
Legislative.
Legislative. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Judicial. Executive.
In the Electoral College.
You know, 33%. We didn't even make him say words like bicameral. And
33% couldn't name 1. Not 1. All right.
I think, you know, we have a very eloquent president, and
yeah,
he was talking about AOC and said, well, what do you expect? We're dealing with a mediocre bartender. who flunked history.
Yep. It's true. We're going to give you a chance to win right
Fix
now.
Fix me a mojito.
Babacu Saw, Bam's Restaurant in Naples, Busch Gardens for their food and wine festival, Swamp Fest tickets at the ranch April 14th, $50 to the pewter mug. Those are the prizes. You cannot have won anything in the last 30 days. If you answer correctly, you'll get first person will get a prize of their choice. Let's play Stan's What's on the List. I love lists, and this should be an easy one. We should get some winners. I hope so. All of us, at one time or another, say, you know, got to start getting into shape, need to start working out. But it usually doesn't come.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Off as such, we don't work out. We don't get into shape.
I just started working out.
Did you?
I did, yeah. The new place I moved into has a treadmill and everything.
That's good. Well, I know you you started working out, and you define that by obtaining a gym membership, right? Isn't that working out?
Oh, that's done.
Yeah, that's, but that's part of working out, isn't it?
No, yeah, I spent that. That was wasted money.
That was more. That was he was hoping for a more social atmosphere to meet the ladies. So, a new survey was just conducted. Now, keep in mind, working out can be a variety of things. Working to get into shape could be a variety of things and places. Survey was asked. The most common reasons people give for not exercising. Oh, did you work out today? Did you exercise today? Did you? These are the top 10 excuses that people give for not exercising. Top 10 on the board. You name one of them in the top 10, you're going to get yourself a prize. 277-9600. Phone lines have just been released. These are the, according to a new survey, top 10 most common reasons people give for not exercising. And I want to be as exact to what is on the list as possible. Ahoy, who's this?
Christy.
Christy, how are you, Christy?
I'm doing well.
I can just tell right off the bat you're not an exerciser, are you?
No, I'm not.
Good for you, Christy.
Good for you. It's nice to.
I'm honest.
Yeah. Top 10 most common reasons people give for not exercising. Name one of them.
I'm tired.
Yeah, number three on the list. I'm too tired to exercise. What would you like?
The Disturb tickets?
I've already given those. They're all gone.
They were gone yesterday.
They were gone. Yeah, we didn't even have any yesterday. I got Babacu Saw. I got Bam's Restaurant. I got Busch Gardens. I've got Swamp Fest. I've got Pewter Mug.
Busch Gardens.
All right, hold on. Too tired. I'm very tired. There's still two more popular than that and nine more on the list. Top 10 excuses people give for not exercising. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Brad.
Hey, Scatter, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine.
Institutionalized is not on the list.
How about if I don't got the time?
Number one.
Scatter.
Number one.
Scatter, is there any hope left?
Probably not much.
No, I didn't think so.
Scatter, what would you like? Well, have you won in the last 30 days?
No.
Have you?
No.
All right, what do you want? What do you want?
About Bam's Restaurant.
All right, you got it. Hold on. Hold the line. Institutionalized, not one of them. Don't give me that you can't exercise. They give you yard time.
You know that firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in a narrow, caged-in area where even if you wanted to climb the fence, you couldn't get over.
I think Scatter hung up.
He did?
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. Okay, so no time, too tired. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Scott.
Scott, we've got no time, too tired. What else is on that list?
Busy with work.
Busy with work. Now, you were specific about that. I'm not saying that work isn't on there, but that's not what you said is not on the list. One of them is... no, I couldn't give it to you. Busy at work is not what is on the list. What Haney and I are going through is on the list.
Yeah.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jim.
Jim, what do you think's on this top 10 list? We already got no time, too tired. What else?
I hurt my back.
You what?
I hurt my back.
I hurt my back. I don't see anything about hurting a back. Not on the list.
Was that too vague or too specific? Or neither?
Neither. It's not. There's no derivative of that.
It hurts, isn't there?
It hurts. It's not there.
What about it stinks and it hurts?
Not there. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Coach Tom.
Coach Tom.
Hey, Coach.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy? What do you think's there?
No one to watch the kids.
No one to watch the kids. No, not there. Don't read too deeply into this. Again, I'm trying to keep it simple.
So there's some overthinking going on?
Yeah, a little bit of overthinking. A lot of these think totally self-absorbed. Don't worry about the kids or, you know, you hurt yourself. Those don't count. Those don't make the top 10. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tim.
Ken?
Tim with the T, Stan. How are you?
Hey, Tim. How are you, buddy?
Good. Could it be because I'm injured?
No, injured. There's nothing about hurting a back or injured or anything like that. Nothing right. That says it hurts. It stinks and it hurts. not there. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Megan.
Megan, you know what? I think from January to now, you tried working out, but you've stopped.
I like to work out, actually.
Okay. Then
you, lucky you.
Well, yeah. What do you think's on here? Top 10 reasons most people give for not exercising.
I know. A couple of times I stopped exercising because I couldn't afford the gym.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that one. It is number 6 on the list. No money. Don't have money for that. You got it. What would you like?
I'd love Busch Gardens.
All right, that's my last pair to give away today, but you got them.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Hold on. Yeah, no money.
Well, wouldn't that be great if you enjoyed doing it?
Here's what I find. I have yet to hit that threshold.
Yeah,
but they say once you get into the habit of doing
it's not true. Because I've gotten into the habit of doing it. And
it's the releasing of those endorphins.
That's a lie.
I have not found that to be true, nor have you. But some people claim that's the case.
They're liars.
A lot of times with me, and I got over it, was guilt. Boy, I feel guilty I didn't work out today.
Let me tell you something. Once you conquer guilt, the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
The world is never your oyster.
Ever.
But, right?
Here we go. Let's go to the next one.
You know what I say? It's just a matter
hold
of...
Hold on.
Okay. The world is your oyster.
Okay.
It's just a matter of having enough money.
That's all.
Because you know the doors that money can open? I saw this website last night for private jets, and I didn't know this.
Yeah.
This company arranges charters for jets that will allow you to smoke on them.
I love it. Who's this?
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, this is Mike.
Mike, what do you think's on this list? Top 10 reasons people give for not exercising.
Lazy.
They're not going to admit that they are lazy. I'm going to give you another shot at this. They've got an explanation. They're going to rationalize this.
Okay. Do they already use tired?
Yeah, already have tired. I'm going to give you one last shot at it, and then I got to go.
Okay. I'm throwing a blank now.
All right. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello?
Okay, so let's start by turning your radio down. I said ahoy, you say ahoy back.
Yeah, I just turned it down.
Okay, ahoy.
Ahoy.
Who's this?
It's Mario.
Hey, Mario, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good, thanks for asking.
Do you correct people if they call you Mario?
No, not really.
Yeah, right. I've seen that to be the case. Yeah.
All right, Mario. What do you think is on this list? Reasons people give for not exercising.
Doesn't feel like it.
Doesn't feel like it.
You said don't overthink it. That's a great answer. I don't feel like it.
You know what?
I don't wanna.
All right. I guess I'm going to give it to you. Number two, no motivation to do it. Don't feel like it.
Yeah, I don't want to.
No motivation. Yeah, I'll give it to you. What do you want?
What do you guys have again?
Oh, for Pete's sake. You give a hello instead of an ahoy. You have the radio
on
in the
background.
Well,
we got him back calling him Mario.
And now, all right, Mario. I've got Babacusa. I've got Bam's Restaurant. I've got Swamp Fest at the Ranch on April 14th. And I've got the Pewter Mug.
I'll take some bubble
tea. You got it, buddy. Hold on. Jeez.
Yeah, that's the problem with that name. We had a guy that worked here with that name, and I never knew if I was pronouncing it right because he just wouldn't say anything.
No. A very quiet man. Till he wasn't.
Well, it's when you get a couple of drinks in him.
Yep. Get all mouthy.
Yep.
Let's give this a few more tries. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Jerry.
Gary?
Jerry with a J.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry. Hi, Jerry. What do you think's on the list, Jerry?
Maybe because it's boring.
Because, well, of course it's boring. Not on the list. La ta ta ta. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Judy.
Judy.
Yeah.
What do you think's on the list?
I'm just too busy.
You're too busy?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Not that you're too busy. No, not on the list. Let's try another one. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Todd.
Todd, what's on that list?
I'm too fat. I can't get out of the weight machine.
No.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Kevin.
Kevin, what's on the list?
I get enough exercise at work.
I get enough exercise at work. Well, maybe that's you, but that's not on the list in the top 10. A couple of more here, and then we'll give you the whole list. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Jim.
Jim, what's on the list?
I would say I don't feel good.
I don't feel good. No. No. One more, and then I'm going to go over the list. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Ronnie.
Ronnie, what's on the list?
Injuries. I have too many
injuries. No, we already said it doesn't hurt. Nothing about hurting. All right, here you go. New survey found out the most common reasons people give for not working out. If you've ever had that moment where you swore you were going to hit the gym or go for a run, but it would take an act of God to get you off the couch, everyone can relate. Here are the top 10 most common reasons people give for not exercising. Coming in at number 10, a bad day at work. Bad day at work. Number 9, nobody got it. The gym, going to a gym, kind of like what happened with Junior. The gym is too intimidating. I don't want to be the pudgy guy, the doughy guy, watching all these Charlie Atlases around there.
That's me, all right.
Yeah, I'm getting sand kicked in your face.
It's too intimidating. Number 8, you don't have anybody to work out with. You'd like to have like a workout partner.
A bro.
swear to God, these are the answers. No one to work out with. Yeah, Steve, thinking about heading over to the gym. You want to come on? We'll go work out.
Yeah, I like to work out, but I've yet to meet the man that can spot me successfully.
Yeah, don't have nobody.
Yep, little too much on the bar for these sissies.
number 7, nobody got it. Not only is the gym intimidating, the gym is too busy. I can't even get to a machine. You know what? If I'm going to be standing around waiting for some guy to wipe down the machine and I can't even get on the ones I want to work, because I'm working the legs today. You know what? I'm not even bothering going. Number 6. Yeah, you don't have money, okay? Well, if you're going to get a gym membership or you're going to go and join some club, and you know, it don't matter. You can sit at home. That don't cost nothing. That's cheap. Especially if you're like me and you got an Xbox One and don't even need to go and buy the membership. You just play there and it just give it what they give you. Jeez, I know if I had the membership, I can download 150 more golf courses.
But I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
What I'm doing right now don't cost me nothing. Number 5, nobody got it. Just, I don't like exercising. I don't like it. I don't like anything about it.
Uh-uh.
You want to? I don't like it.
It's unpleasant.
No. Number 4, this is mainly for you outdoors people that like to go rock climbing or out for a jog in the park.
Yeah, show off.
Yeah, bad weather. It's raining today. It's too windy today. Yeah. It is hot out there.
Yeah, it's too sunny.
It is hot.
Yeah.
And then the rest of you, you got them all. Too tired, no motivation, no time. So there you go. Those are the top 10 excuses for not working out. We're going to take a break. When we come back, well, you know what? Hang by your radio, because I sense a 4 o'clock safe word coming. So I think you want to stick around with that. Then when we come back, news headlines, we'll get your first look at traffic, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. This is the Stan and Haney Show.
Remember years ago when we told you about that woman who made her own shrimp standing over a bucket? Well, it's all true. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. You still have about 2 minutes, just under 2 minutes, to get the 4 o'clock safe word in to have a chance at a thou. Nice, N-I-C-E. Nice is the 4 o'clock safe word. You can go right now on the 96krock.com website, the K-Rock app on your mobile device, or text the word to 45911. You've got about 90 seconds to do it if you want to be in on this one. Chance for the thou and hit the G-spot. If not, you're going to have to wait for Rob's show at 6 o'clock. Stan and Haney here. We'll do traffic here in just a second. Question of the week in less than 30. Dave is doing his van work. And we try to keep it as loose around here, at least inside the studio and outside. Keep it as loose as possible. We clown each other. We rib each other.
Locker room talk.
Yeah, locker room talk. A lot of towel snapping.
Yep.
I saw Dave nearly cost himself another job when he truly, and I thought it was going to happen, wanted to punch Junior in the head.
Yeah, that was ill-advised.
And
that
he squared up to me.
He did. And it was like, okay, hey, we're ribbing, clowning around, we're all laughing, and Dave, I'm not joking, squared up. He better watch himself.
Are you saying he better check himself before he wreck himself?
Yup.
Oh, he finna wreck himself, dog.
I'm telling you, he better watch himself. And I mean watch himself good, because I'll stop it.
Literally told me he was going to punch me in the face.
Yeah, he did. Right, yes.
To his boss.
And did he not charge you and make physical contact?
He did make physical contact.
Yeah, I saw it.
Belly to belly.
I think that was consensual, because it was like two bulls charging.
Well, Junior stood there and was not going to give up ground to a no longer, not even today at all, no longer clowning around situation. Because Dave...
No, he's had it. He's dyed his hair. He's serious.
I don't know what his deal is. He misses work. He misses his podcast, misses work, and now he's all bowed up out there.
Feels younger and stronger since he got that hair dye.
Yeah. That's
true.
It's no way to act. No way to act, especially around your friends.
I mean, especially around your so-called friends.
Yeah, so-called. Let's get you updated.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Oh, God. Let's start. Well, they're all Fort Myers. Crash. Iona Road and McGregor Boulevard, right by the Sanibel Outlet. Fort Myers crash, South Tamiami Trail and Gladiolus Drive. In this one, Fort Myers crash, Palm Beach Boulevard at the Nations Association. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about less than 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's about to tell you. He's got today's headlines. 3 I'd pay up to 300 American to watch. Me too. Junior'd kill him.
Be a big pay-per-view. Yeah.
I'd beat him up like a little bitch.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
You know how it all started? Dave goes and bows up, I saved your ass again.
Saved my ass. Yeah, right.
No, you didn't, Dave.
No, you didn't.
I'd appreciate it if you would.
Yeah.
You know, there's a downside to launching a new product this time of year.
What is it?
Well, it's not a good sign when you have a big new product launch and people just assume it was an April Fool's joke. We'll tell you what happened. Two drunken idiots shot each other wearing bulletproof vests.
Well, I guess there was one bulletproof vest and they traded off.
Yeah.
Your turn now.
And
couple of Daves.
And they were Daving around. And they realized that they needed to go to the hospital and had to come up with a cover story. Well, tell you how that worked out.
500 American, if in skinny jeans. Yeah.
Hotheads are unpredictable. You get a real hothead.
Like a Dave.
And the ones that are dangerous are the ones that are not the kind of hotheads that blow up and get over it, but the ones that blow up and just, they hold on to it.
Or are too small to win any fight.
You're forgetting about the hair dye.
Yeah. What is it? What happened when he dyes his hair? What is it?
Oh, he just feels younger and stronger. It's all mental.
A man blows up somebody's car for having the nerve,
the
unmitigated gall, to honk at his girlfriend in the McDonald's drive-thru 6 weeks earlier. You know, we take it for granted here in Southwest Florida.
We sure do.
The nice weather.
Oh, yeah.
A man in Canada got so excited that it warmed up 12 degrees. Well, he did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
Went for a drunk joy ride on his lawnmower. And finally, a woman is pulled over for using her phone while driving. It also didn't help that she had a goat on her lap.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Dave just texted. This is from him because nobody else would write it. I think Dave should beat the crap out of him. I would. Call me a little bitch once. Shame on you.
How many times have I called him a little bitch now?
300.
To his face.
Right to his face. All right, let's continue the laughter, shall we?
On the Neverland roller coaster, look out.
It's 4 o'clock fluffer time, brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Junior?
Dave's boss?
Dave's boss.
Well, he's Dave's boss.
Yeah. And then just say Haney.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Have you heard about the Springsteen boy?
What about the Springsteen boy?
The Springsteen boy is trying to become a firefighter for the Jersey City Fire Department.
Good for him. Again, that's a regional story, too.
Mm-hmm. But we use it this way.
Yeah.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
questions to ask yourself before becoming a firefighter.
Top questions to ask yourself before becoming a firefighter.
Will I get along with Dave Grohl? Oh, sorry, that's Foo Fighter.
Oh, my God. No.
After I save someone's home, is it okay to wave a tip cup and ask for a little love?
Hold my beer.
When sleeping in the firehouse, how is it decided who cuddles with whom?
Yeah.
Gay!
What the hell was that?
Is pole dancing permitted at the station house?
Oh, gross, you sick bastard!
Yeah, they have those calendars.
Will I get upset when a Dalmatian humps my leg? Will I develop a complex if I don't get the truck with the longest ladder? Am I free to water blast any douchebag I see vaping? And finally, the very top question to ask yourself before becoming a firefighter.
Yes, yes.
Can I remember I'm supposed to rescue cats stuck in trees instead of pointing and laughing? Holla, holla. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Freddy, email time. Ahoy.
You know, I can't help but notice.
What's the matter? I got the money. That's my open Muxy pocketed.
Shut up.
Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
This is from our buddy Charlie. Ahoy, dear friends. Was listening yesterday. I love it whenever Joffrey calls into the show.
You're the only one.
But that thing about breeding dogs, isn't that called a rape stand? No, it's a bitch stand.
Both are okay.
Signed Charlie. I can just picture Joffrey having one of them dogs on the bitch table, forcing a male on him.
Yep.
Think that one took.
That's a good boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
He's sick and tired. Join the club. Dysfunctional Congress. Hugger. Biden. Okay, let's see what we got. Ahoy, gentlemen. All right, guys, I'm sick and tired of these issues that Congress could be working on to cure problems. You see, all the time people from both the House and the Senate saying crap like we just need to work together. Well, no S. Isn't that brilliant? This comes from both sides. So stop talking and get to work. What's the old adage? Action speaks louder than words. I don't think I have ever seen a more dysfunctional Congress. I truly think that they have forgotten just what their job is, which is supposed to be them doing what's right for us, the legal citizens of the United States of America. Stop worrying about your damn party. Poor Joe Biden. Okay, so some of his actions have been a little inappropriate. It's just another example where people will be afraid to offer comfort, show love to one another. I come from a family of huggers. Does that make me an abuser? I heard Bill Bennett the other day, former drug czar Bill Bennett, talking about this issue. He said that he had been to a funeral of a friend over the weekend. When it came time to end and everyone was offering condolences to the family, he suddenly thought about hugging and would it be appropriate. How sad this is. What the future may hold for future generations. We must fight back. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
Yep. Isolate, destroy the family.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think it's time we qualify another person with a golf ball, don't you?
Well, you know what I say, if it feels like it,
yeah,
it probably is time.
You're going to hear a recording of Dave and I arguing. This was done in fun, not like him squaring off out in the parking lot, ready to jeopardize his job.
You know, everything was so quiet a week ago.
Yeah, it sure
was.
So
nice.
Yep. I can give you reasons why. So when you... get them all. There you go. See, I don't even have to say it to him. Phones are on lockdown.
That's how good he is.
Yep. Ninth caller, when you hear us arguing, you'll get yourself a numbered golf ball for a chance at that custom Stan and Haney golf cart that we're going to be giving away on Saturday. Here comes.
All women are crazy. Except you, darling. That's right. Just you. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mark Haney in the news, about 30 minutes away. Just got ourselves another qualifier for the customized Stan and Haney golf cart from Carts MD in Fort Myers.
It's almost here.
It's almost here. Maybe one more qualifier today on the show. I don't know yet. Saturday, 5 p.m.
I know Dave was out, armor all in the tires on the van, so...
Yeah, I guess Morgan instructed him to do that. Otherwise, he has to be told to.
And well, he has a checklist.
Yeah. And he's walking around all serious, putting check marks down.
But how much of life is like that? That's what they train kids for now, is to go through life with a checklist. Yeah, and then, look at me, good job.
It's doing the same thing he did in school, just doodling.
You know, it does. It puts little smiley faces and little other little stars and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Drawing the monsters under his bed.
Question of the week.
He's going through a checklist, but doesn't really understand what it is, so he Christmas trees it.
Yep, a checklist. Question of the week. We're going to pose it to you.
We can't check them all, or they'll think I'm BSing them.
Then we'll do traffic, and then we'll take your phone calls. This, I think, is a good question of the week because I hope it brings back a fond memory of a very special person in your life. I'll pose to you the question of the week. We'll do traffic. Then we'll take your phone calls at 277-9600. But I know things right off the bat that I can answer to this question of the week. Here it is. Our question of the week should be a fond memory. What possession or keepsake do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member? You were kind of either willed it or they wanted you to have it, and you have it to this very day. I was originally, but of course I made it more general. I was going to say, do you own something that your grandfather owned and that you have of his? But I said it could be a grandmother. It could be an uncle. It could be past generations. What possession or keepsake do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member? You cherish it. 277-9600. We'll take your calls after we take a look at traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Let's see. North Fort Myers got a crash. North Tamiami Trail at Willis Road. The rest of these are Fort Myers. Hit and run. South Cleveland Avenue at the Med Express. Fort Myers crash. Michael G. Rippey southbound off-ramp at Alico. And one more for you. Disabled vehicle. Fort Myers. Daniels Parkway and South Cleveland Avenue. And you are up to date. Another traffic update for you right before Mark Haney in the news. Question of the week. I hope it brings a fond memory. I know it does for me. What possession or keepsake do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member of yours? You cherish it. It's something that you remember them by. It's something that means a whole lot to you. 277-9600. I know I can think of several for me. One, my grandfather, who passed away in 1974. I still have.
Is this the one from the joke?
Yeah. I have his guitar, and I have his Horner harmonica that he used and played with back in the 40s. I have that. And the other thing that I cherish, and I never knew the man, was my great
It's loud in the hall.
Yep. My great grandfather's pocket watch. This was on the German side of the family.
on this watch.
Yeah. He was a tanner, leather tanner, and he kept a pocket watch. And it went from him to my grandmother to my mom, and my mom gave it to me. It's his pocket watch. I got to thank the gang at Matisse Jewelers. They got it working for me again and fixed it all up.
They're amazing, aren't they?
Yep. It still has the picture when you open the pocket watch that my great-grandfather carried around, a picture of my great-grandmother that he would keep in his pocket. It's engraved. I still have it. Very, very important to me. What about you, Haney?
Well, let's see. I have probably the oldest thing that I have is a Bible that my grandmother had when she was a girl going through school and kept it for years. And it's her personal notes with the instruction that she got. And then as she got older, she added her own notes.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as one possession that I think is pretty cool that my mom just saved over the years is my mom was very worried about kids' safety. And got rid of all of their coffee tables or cocktail tables, whatever you want to call them, and replaced it with this one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Bench-like thing where they could set their drinks on it, but it was covered so that it had no sharp edges.
Right.
And I have that with me today.
Junior.
And I learned to walk on that thing.
What about you? Prized possession, a keepsake from a family member that's no longer with you?
Well, my grandfather, who passed away in 2006, my father actually gave this to me because he got it out of the estate or whatever, but it was a giant buck knife. This thing is basically like a sword. This thing is huge. And actually, me and my grandfather have the same name. And so it said the name is actually... the name is actually etched.
Junior. Yeah.
The name is actually etched in the blade. It's like a custom-made blade
cool.
with like a rosewood handle.
Very cool. 277-9600. What keepsake possession do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member that it's your prized possession? Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, this is Joe.
Joe, what possession?
Guys, I have the original document from the 1830s of my great-great-great-grandfather coming over as an indentured servant from Great Britain.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It's got the seal on it. It's got King George IV's name on it. It's pretty cool, man.
That is very cool. Thanks for sharing that. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Leonard.
Leonard, what prized possession or keepsake do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member?
My great-great-grandfather used to hand... craft violins, and he made a violin, and he engraved his initials inside of it, and it has his first name and middle name, and the year he made it in 1898.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty cool, and we have it in our living room in a very safe spot, and every time we move, it goes with us, but it's...
Does it still play?
You know, what I wanted to do is I never learned how to play the violin because I actually received it about 10 years ago. It was given to me from my mother. And what I wanted to do, and I haven't done it yet, is take it to a professional violinist and get it restrung. And they say it's good to have it used.
Yeah, I've always heard that they're meant to be played.
Yep, absolutely. So I want to do that, and I better do it sooner than later so nothing happens to it.
Oh, that's great. Great story. 277-9600.
You know, we are here for such a short time.
Yep.
And when you're a kid, you go, oh, yeah, whatever. But, you know, especially we're hearing about these items.
Yeah.
These people were your family long gone before you ever got here.
Yeah, and that's why it keeps their name alive and keeps their name in a family history. Because you go back to three generations, you don't know half the people that were in your family.
Nope.
They're just forgotten in time.
Mm-hmm.
You have something that's been passed down. It's a tangible thing that somebody that you never knew, but as a family member, you have. It's a tangible thing.
And, you know, it's mind-blowing if you allow it to be. Because, you know, we all just walk around and we see what we see and what's going on now is it. But if you ever stop and think about all that it took for you to be here right now, the series of events...
Yeah, it'll blow
it's
your
incredible.
Mind. Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Fatman.
What's the possession that you have and cherish?
I got a brass steam engine whistle for my great-great-grandfather's Case steam engine.
Wow, that's cool.
And it's all nice and done and put in a box. I've only got to hear it blow one time, and it was for my grandfather when... My grandfather acquired the Case steam engine.
Very cool. Very cool. 277-9600. Our question of the week. What keepsake or possession do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member? Ahoy, who's this?
It's Chuck.
Chuck, tell us about what you have.
I've got quite a few things, but... My favorite thing is the first rifle I ever shot was my grandfather's. Then he passed it down to my dad. It's a Marlin Model 50.
Very good. Very good. I wish his phone line was better. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jason.
Jason, what do you have?
Yeah. It's a piece of shrapnel that I got from my grandfather. He was in World War II, and it hit him in his back, and he kept it forever and ever and ever. He passed away in 2007, and my mother gave it to me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Got,
it's engraved with his name and the year 1942.
Wow.
Near the Solomon Islands. He floated in the water for 14 hours.
Oh, good Lord.
One of our heroes.
Yeah.
You're made of good too. Stuff.
Yep, that's fantastic. That is, that's special. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Rusty.
Rusty, what possession or keepsake do you have from a deceased family member?
I have a couple of things. I have my grandfather's model 1911 from World War One and his Purple Heart from World War One.
Wow. Very
nice. It's all original. And then I have my father's Rolex presidential day date that he willed to me, but his evil wife made me buy after he died.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not making that up, brother, guys.
She shook you down, did she?
She shook me down, and I've already told my nephew, because he's the only son in our family, that I'm going to give it to him.
That is, wow. If you don't mind me asking, what did she shake you down for?
$8,000. It's a 1981 presidential with a burled walnut face.
I was about ready
they
to...
They don't even make that watch anymore.
When I heard that, I was about ready to cuss. She could have at least given you a better deal.
No, she knew she had him. No, she knew she had him.
Yeah, she knew she had you.
It was the only thing my dad wanted me to have, and I had to pay for it.
Unbelievable.
A witch.
Yeah, there's evil everywhere. If there's good people, there's evil people, because you wouldn't know who a good person was if there wasn't that evil one stabbing you. That's unbelievable. 877-9600. Still got time for a few phone calls. Ahoy, who's this?
Yes, ahoy, this is Gus.
Hey, Gus, what possession keepsake do you have from a deceased family member?
I got a electrical code book from my grandfather that I'm a third-generation electrician, and my grandfather passed away when my mom was 5 years old. Like, I'm 50 years old now.
Yeah.
And she gave it to me when I turned 25, and I look at it, and it's a man I never met, but I look at all his notes that he took and everything about the code back in the 1930s.
Yeah.
And then my father, it's funny, the other guy brought it up, my father bought me a Rolex when I was born. I was born in 1968. He bought me this brand-new Rolex, and I've been sitting on it for years. I never wear it because it keeps hitting terrible time. But my idea is that when I pass away, I'll give it to my son.
Yeah, I was a third-generation electrician.
Did you feel a connection with him when you were looking through the electrician's book?
It was weird, yeah, because there were questions that I'm like, well, how does that work? And he had the same question, and he highlighted them, and it's cool because
that is so cool.
It's his signature, you know, his writing.
And you're a third generation. Does that make you a master electrician?
It makes me just good enough to not be dangerous.
Appreciate the call. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy.
Hi. Ahoy, who's this?
Mike.
Mike, what's the possession you have?
I have a 1903 curved dash automobile.
What?
An Oldsmobile. A 1903 curved dash Oldsmobile. First car ever built on an assembly line. And good old Henry Ford, Edison's buddy, stole the idea to build the Model A on an assembly line.
Now, wait a second. You got and you had a family member that owned this car?
Yes. When I was 15, my father and I were working on a 67 Coupe de Ville convertible Cadillac. And he said, I think I'm going to sell the little car in the corner, Mike. And I said, you can't sell that. And he restored cars. He had a 39 LaSalle, old Buick.
Wow. And
I said, that's a one of a kind, Dad. I said, you can't sell that. He said, I never knew it meant so much to you. You can have it.
Wow.
That is.
And then, unfortunately, he died a couple years later. So
now, let me ask you, do you drive it?
No, I don't drive it, but it does run. It needs some work. It's got some wear and tear over the years, but when I went off to college, I didn't have anywhere to store it because my mom sold the house, and my neighbor let me put it in his barn, and we strung it up in the rafters of a barn about 40 feet high for about 20 years.
Wow.
And then I moved to Florida from Michigan, and then I was able to get it brought down here to
That's so cool. So appreciate the call. I've told you the story before, and my cousin, who I'm friends with on Facebook. I haven't seen or spoken with her till we became friends on Facebook for at least 30 years. And she's a few years older than me. My mom, when she graduated college, bought her first car after she got out of college, was a 1960 Austin Healey Sprite. And you could hear that car coming from a mile away with that engine. And when my mom and dad married, my dad, loved the car. So for the first probably 5 years of their marriage, he would drive the Austin Healey Sprite. And I remember I had to be 9 or 10 years old. And my father gave the car to my uncle to keep in his garage. And always told me, he said, this 1960 Austin Healey Sprite, when you turn 16, this is your car. And my old man turned over the title and everything to my uncle. Now, when my son turned 16, it's his car. I turned 16 and the car was sold. And I brought that up to my cousin on Facebook, and she said, I remember that car. It was in Uncle Walter's garage for years. I said, I know.
You were promised a bill of goods.
Yeah.
And you didn't get any of it.
Not any of it. One more. One more. I think it's this one.
Would you have given me a room in that mansion?
I would have. Yeah, absolutely. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Sam. This is Dustin.
Dustin, you're our last caller for today. What possession or keepsake do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member?
So there's not too much monetary value to it, but the house that my mother and her siblings grew up in, my grandfather and grandmother's house in New York, they actually moved the house across a field way back in the day when his parents lived there. And when he passed away, my mother and her siblings had to sell the house, and my uncle kept some of the doorknobs, the brass doorknobs from the house.
Yeah.
Polished them up, put them on plaques. I've got my parents' names and the house and the dates that the house was there. So it's, you know, something the memory lives on.
Now, see, my quest in life would be to put those doorknobs back where they belong and move in.
Well, the house isn't there anymore. They tore it down and put a...
Well, then you got something out of that. That's pretty cool. Appreciate the call, buddy. If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy@stanandhaney.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mark Haney and the news, and who knows, maybe one more golf ball qualifier.
Who could say?
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
You know, radio is a crazy business, and 96 K-Rock is no exception. You see, while others routinely come and go, we stubbornly remain. Which begs the perfectly logical question, Stan and Haney, smart or dumb? Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
You don't want me to answer that right now. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Mark Haney and the news coming up here in just a second. Got ourselves another qualifier for the Stan and Haney golf cart extravaganza on Saturday at Stony Brook. I want to thank Carts MD for the customized Stan and Haney golf cart. We're going to be hanging out at Duffy's Sports Grill on Saturday at Stony Brook. Then a helicopter, and I'm not joking, a helicopter is going to take all the golf balls that people have qualified for. You're all going to have a number on them. And going to drop them out of the helicopter. Drop them right onto the practice green. And the one closest to the hole is going to take home that Stan and Haney golf cart.
It's an extravaganza.
Yep. April 6th, 5 p.m., you must be present to win. Let's get you updated on traffic, and I've got a road watcher update complete with photographs. It's pretty wild.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
From our road watcher, a car is on fire. I-75 is closed northbound, half mile south of Corkscrew. Car on fire right now. Got the pictures. So you're not going to be able to go through there. Hey, look at this. Hey.
Whoa.
Yeah. I-75 closed northbound, half mile south of Corkscrew Road. Also, Fort Myers crash, Seven Lakes Boulevard and South Cleveland Avenue. And in Bonita Springs, crash, Spanish Wells Boulevard and Bonita Beach Road, southeast, right at the gate to Spanish Wells Golf and Country Club. And you are up to date.
That car is not a little bit on fire.
No, it's a lot on fire. And thanks to our road watchers out there. Mark Haney and the news, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is the evening news with Eric Severide in New York, George Herman in Washington, Leslie Stahl in Washington, Fred P. Graham in Atlanta, Peter Kalischer in Paris, Tom Fenton in Paris, Robert Shackney in Des Moines, and tonight, a special report, the energy crisis.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, April 4th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know.
Okay.
You know, we remember when Metallica went to war against Napster, and it's always weird about, you know, the digital rights and, well, a great example of that, Kid Rock refused to put the song All Summer Long on iTunes, would not allow it.
Okay.
However, a karaoke version was available. It sold so many copies, the karaoke version,
yeah,
that it wound up higher on the Billboard charts than the actual song.
Wow. Hey, that goes to show you.
The karaoke version made it to 19. The real song only made it to 23.
Wow. You know, and they and today with the digital stuff, they'll put out singles or two songs, and you know, they'll we would wait for either the 45 or an album.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the Electoral College.
Sure has. You know,
I plan on enrolling.
Yeah. You know, 2-year degree or 4.
Yeah, but you didn't get that scholarship. And I am not going to go into explaining it again. Those of you that know, know, but this is another good example of why we need the Electoral College. There are 5 states that do not have a single city with a population over 100,000.
A state?
Yes.
Okay.
5 states without a single city with a population over 100,000.
I think I can at least name 2 of them.
Okay, go ahead.
Maine, number 1. Maine, let me tell you, that's where I'm going to retire because you can get a whole bunch of land out there. Maine, mm-hmm. Am I right on that?
You are correct, sir.
And I would have to say Delaware.
You are correct, sir.
The rest, I have no idea. I just knew that.
Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming. I'm kind of surprised at West Virginia.
Mountain Mama?
Yeah. Thought they'd have 1.
You'd think that most states would have the big city that they'd go to, but they don't.
Now, having said that, those 5 states don't even have 1 city with a population over 100,000. The state of California has 73 cities with a population over 100,000.
So you would like to think that West Virginia, Maine, Delaware, they'd like to be represented. New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
They'd like to be represented and know that their vote counts when they go and vote for a president.
Indeed. That's kind of the point. It's an awkward time of year for a new product launch.
It sure is.
It can be quite embarrassing when, you know, you're a major corporation, you're excited about your new product, and you put it out into the world with all the press releases and everything, and people just assume it's an April Fool's joke.
If that's the case, it's got to be a pretty damn good, amazing product. Right?
No.
Oh.
If people think you're joking.
You're joking. They can't do that. That's something stop clowning around, man on the moon.
Yep.
That's an April Fool's joke.
And it happened to the good people at Lunchables.
You know, I like a Lunchable. I like it.
They rolled out a new product called Brunchables.
What?
They announced it on Twitter on April 1st, and everyone just assumed it was a prank.
To have a Brunchable? Yeah, I could see that.
And, you know, we know how corporations react to things.
Yeah, we do.
So They tease it on Twitter on April 1st. People think it's all a big joke, which would cause a corporate panic. So how do they combat this?
How?
Well, the official website for the product is not just Brunchables. It's Brunchables, capital I, is, capital R, real. Brunchablesisreal.com.
I'm looking at them right now. What do you got there with these? You got a bacon and cheese.
It's a muffin.
Well, what is it? It looks like it's like a...
They're like a breakfast sandwich with a muffin.
It's like a cracker.
Yeah.
With breakfast sausage and cheese.
Bacon and cheese and ham.
And a muffin. I bet you, is it one of those mini muffins?
Probably.
Mini muffin?
Jeez. Or a cracker.
A cracker for a biscuit.
It says on the package, flatbread.
Oh. Okay. Flatbread my ass. That's a cracker. And and they make those Lunchables in what I like to call the one bite serving.
Yeah. And if you want to find out about it, you have to go to the website, brunchablesisreal.com. And let me tell you something, that came straight from the top right there, that website.
Well, they're brilliant up there at the top.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you've totally bungled the rollout. I can fix it, though.
Yep.
Write this down.
Yeah, write it down now.
Brunchables is real. And I want a capital I and a capital R.
Yep. Maybe even an exclamation point. Brilliant. Brilliant. That's why you are where you are.
Yeah. Effed. In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
You should have cleared your throat before we were on.
Who?
You.
Why do you say that?
Because it's like we're in the thing.
I didn't clear my throat.
You did. You did.
No,
that.
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I most certainly did.
You knew
did
it without
not.
Even knowing it.
Well, then why are you talking to me about it if I'm not even aware of it? There's nothing I can do. If I don't know I'm doing it, like, what am I supposed to do?
Right. I apologize.
And you are the worst.
What?
Because you call me out on it, and every
yes.
time you start to do it, I always preempt you to cover you.
Yeah, because you'll do it. You know, we don't have to both do it together. Yes, once in a while, my throat does clog up.
And what do? I go...
Yeah, you don't have to.
So you don't feel alone, and you don't even appreciate it. Nobody appreciates anything.
Yeah.
We're all effed.
My bad on that.
Yeah, by the way, your new heart routine is wearing thin.
I don't
Everybody
get what,
knows,
what
okay?
The hell is
it's very
that?
Obvious.
I get a text. I don't even know what the hell this guy's talking. What am I doing? Stan, lay off the Bob Newhart reruns. It's getting obvious. What's obvious? You and I looked at each other going, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, until I decided to use it against you.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks. Did I say Bill?
Yeah, you must
while
have.
Ago?
Yeah, you did, probably. You just said it again.
Two neighbors in northern Arkansas showed up at the hospital on Sunday with chest pain and severe bruises.
Oh, this is brilliant. This is like a couple of Daves.
Now, they initially lied about what happened, then they came clean. It turns out one of them recently purchased a bulletproof vest.
Yep, that's cool.
So what do you do when you buy a bulletproof vest?
You want to test it out.
Exactly. So they took it out and thought it would be fun to take turns putting it on and shooting each other. And yes, they'd been drinking.
Of course.
50-year-old Charles Ferris went first and had his 36-year-old a-hole buddy of a neighbor, Chris Hicks, shoot him in the chest with a .22. And
I think it was .22 semi-automatic.
And the vest worked.
Yeah.
Stopped the bullet. But Charles was angry at how much it hurt.
Yep, because bulletproof vests save your life. It doesn't stop it from hurting.
So he did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
He told Chris to strap that vest on and unloaded a clip in his back. And fortunately, it stopped all those bullets, too. But Chris said it hurt, too.
Yeah.
At some point, they realized they may need medical attention and headed to the hospital. And they knew they needed to have a cover story.
Oh, well, yeah.
So Charles told the hospital they'd been paid $200 to protect an asset.
Hmm?
Yeah. And then they got into a shootout while they were guarding the asset.
Yeah, the whole $200 they were paid.
Sadly.
Guard it with your life.
Yep. Sadly, Charles's wife blew their cover when she showed up at the hospital and explained what really happened. Now both of them are facing charges for aggravated assault and up to 6 years in prison.
Pretty sure I've seen Dave hanging out with these guys.
Oh, yeah, they're Dave buddies. Look at these idiots.
You know what? I could see myself sitting down with them.
Yeah.
Pounding malt liquor as they explain to me why you got to make your own bullets.
Yep. Yeah. These.
You don't want that off the shelf, son.
Well, see, the guy
right now.
The guy in the patterned shirt there with the goatee,
yeah,
he likes to think he's the brainiac of the bunch.
Well, he's the hip one.
Yep, and his buddy there is Mr. Nuts and Bolts. Yep. He's going to get the job done for you. He'll get the hardware.
What's wrong with you? You never heard of WD-40? You don't want to piss off a hothead.
No. Not a good idea to do that.
Back in February, a 31-year-old woman was at the McDonald's drive-thru in some place in Australia. And as she was getting her food, she swerved near another car, and that driver had the nerve,
the
unmitigated gall, to honk at her.
Oh.
Because she was swerving at him. Well, that honk, and that honk alone, was enough to send her and her 33-year-old boyfriend over the edge.
They've had it.
Our hothead's name is Ryan Sharp. They have not released her name.
For good reason. She's the real hothead.
Here is the unfortunate series of events. First, she called the police to report the other driver for honking at her.
What do you got a horn for? That's what it's meant to do.
Police politely explained that that's not illegal and there's nothing they can do about it. And then nothing, or seemingly nothing, because Ryan and his girlfriend calmly spent the next several weeks hunting down the car that honked at them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to find him.
And 6 weeks after the honking assault,
oh, God.
Ryan found the car sitting in a driveway and blew it up with a pipe bomb.
What? What?
You heard me. She was swerving at him at the McDonald's. Yeah. He honks the horn so she doesn't hit him, and his car ends up blown up.
Yeah, with a pipe bomb.
Ryan is facing a ton of charges, including stalking, intimidation, destroying property, placing explosives, and too much to even list.
Yeah. You know, you don't know who they are. There are drivers out there that love the horn.
We know them.
We know them. That just
they believe
any situation. Lay on the horn.
They believe the horn is should be used as routinely as the brake pedal or the gas. That's part of the car.
Others are timid about it. But you got those that just love the horn. They'll lay on it.
Mm-hmm.
The horn is supposed to prevent accidents.
Other people believe that it's a form of routine communication. And then there are other people, like our friend Ryan, that if you honk at him, you're dead.
Yeah, he'll hunt you down. Doesn't care how long it takes.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, it's very important to remember, what is the saying? Distracted driving is drunk driving.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Is that what they say?
That's going on. Because, you know, I'm buzzed or I'm on the phone, I'm texting. It's the same as drunk driving.
Oh, that's right.
How's it go?
Buzz driving is the same as text driving.
Yeah. Sure. That's, buzz drive. It's some saying. They're just trying to make you not have. You know what? Then it should come down that if you have a passenger sitting in your car, that's distracted driving too. How many of us are driving home and you got your wife sitting in the passenger side just nagging at you?
Yeah, that's she should be arrested.
She should be.
Sorry about that, folks.
Yap, 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 yap. You're trying to concentrate on the intersection, and she's just laying into you.
Well, I guess it's a big thing, and they're really enforcing it now, this distracted driving.
Yeah.
A police officer in Marlboro, New Hampshire, pulled over a 60-year-old woman on Monday afternoon. Why?
Why?
He could see that she was using her phone while driving.
Uh-huh.
And then it became apparent that there was more to it than just the 60-year-old woman using the phone. Then there was the fact that she had a live goat on her lap.
What is it with goats these days?
And also, she didn't seem to possess a driver's license.
Well, that'll get you.
She wound up getting a ticket for the license. The cop let her off. Well, let her off with a lengthy lecture on the dangers of goats and distracted driving.
Let's keep it safe out there.
You think I enjoy this? And that's the news for today, Thursday, April 4th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Marky Haney telling it like it is.
Oh, sure. I'd love to drive around with a goat on my lap, but it's against the law.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon.
Who among us wouldn't want to ride around with a goat on our lap? But there are safety reasons, ma'am.
Yeah. Gonna let you go with a warning this time. We'll be back. Stan and Haney. 96K Rock.
Damn it. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Another great job by all of us today.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Not often you hear an attaboy in this business.
Yeah, yeah. Great job, Haney. Great job today, Junior.
Thanks, guys.
Great job today, Stan.
We rule.
Yeah.
Don't we?
I'm proud of all of us.
I'm a good boy.
You are. You are.
Yeah, we rock.
Somebody's got to say it. 6 o'clock, Rob's show's going to come in. You're going to have another 6 o'clock safe word. And he may qualify some people for the golf cart giveaway. This Saturday.
Hey, after you get done with traffic, I just need a couple of seconds.
Okay, then that's all that we'll have. Let me get you updated here.
Now,
K-Rock traffic.
Had that car fire on I-75 earlier. I have not gotten an update on it. Fort Myers, accident, Warrior Way and Champion Ring Road. That's nice. Fort Myers, crash, Doctor's Way and Daniels Parkway. Fort Myers, crash, Matthew Drive and Summerlin Road. And this one on Captiva, a hit and run. 15,000 block of Captiva Drive at the Bubble Room.
Do we have time for my favorite 30-second song?
Yes.
Well, I'm Johnny Sullivan and I take gas. Got lifts and rights and uppercuts, hooks and wicked jabs. But of all these skills I possess, the one thing I don't have is love to heal my wounded heart. Well, I'm a drunken Irishman, the last bare knuckles champ. And Lord, you know I tasted blood, my eyes have been damp. But if it is you asking me what I'm all about, I'm gonna look you in the eye and tell you, man, I can lick any son of a bitch in the house.
Yeah, right on.
We rock.
Time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I can't handle intimacy. Like, I have to make a joke immediately after sex. My husband will get annoyed because I'm obsessed with those old movies from the 1950s. So the moment sex is done, I like to be like, well, I don't understand what that all had to do with helping the children. Why, golly, you said if we did all those humiliating things that it would help the war effort. I suppose that was a lie, too. Come to think of it, Wally, I didn't need to bring my friend Connie over either, did I? She was piping mad in church the next day about what we did. We just got married a couple months ago. He's a fireman, and I mean, I think he's a fireman. He could just be a stripper with a fireman costume. I haven't checked his uniform for Velcro. I'm not sure. We were set up. How insulting is this description he was given about me? His buddy called him up and he goes, how would you like to meet a semi-famous Jewish jokester? Have you heard a more vile collection of words? You hear that as a man and you're like, you know what? I'm going to stay in on a Friday night. I think I'd rather do that.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. What keepsake possession do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member that it's your prized possession? Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, this is Joe.
Joe, what possession?
Guys, I have the original document from the 1830s of my great-great-great-grandfather coming over as an indentured servant from Great Britain.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It's got the seal on it. It's got King George IV's name on it. That's pretty cool, man.
That is very cool. Thanks for sharing that. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Leonard.
Leonard, what prized possession or keepsake do you have that once belonged to a deceased family member?
My great-great-grandfather used to handcraft violins, and he made a violin, and he engraved his initials inside of it, and it has his first name and middle name, and the year he made it in 1898.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's pretty cool, and we have it in our living room in a very safe spot, and every time we move, it goes with us. But
does it still play?
You know what I want to do is I never learned how to play the violin because I actually received it about 10 years ago. It was given to me from my mother, and what I wanted to do, and I haven't done it yet, is take it to a professional violinist and get it restrung and. And they say it's good to have it used.
Yeah. I've always heard exactly. That. They're meant to be played.
Yep, absolutely. So I want to do that. And I better do it sooner than later so nothing happens to it.
Oh, that's great. Great story. 277-9600.
You know, we are here for such a short time.
Yep.
And when you're a kid, you go, oh, yeah, whatever. But, you know, especially we're hearing about these items.
Yeah.
These people were your family long gone before you ever got here.
Yeah, and here, and that's why it keeps their name alive and keeps their name in a family history, because you go back to three generations, you don't know half the people that were in your family.
Nope.
They're just forgotten in time.
Mm-hmm.
You have something that's been passed down. It's a tangible thing that somebody that you never knew, but as a family member, you have. It's a tangible thing.
And, you know, it's mind-blowing if you allow it to be. Because, you know, we all just walk around and we see what we see, and what's going on now is it. But if you ever stop and think about all that it took for you to be here right now, the series of events,
it'll blow your mind.
It's incredible.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, famine.
What's the possession that you have and cherish?
I got a brass steam engine whistle for my great-great-grandfather's Case steam engine.
Wow, that's cool.
And it's all nice and done and put in a box. I've only got to hear it blow one time, and it was from my grandfather when my grandfather acquired the Case steam engine.
Very cool. Very cool. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jason.
Jason, what do you have?
Yeah. It's a piece of shrapnel that I got from my grandfather. He was in World War II. And it hit him in his back, and he kept it forever and ever and ever. And he passed away in 2007, and my mother gave it to me.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's engraved with his name and the year 1942.
Wow.
Near the Solomon Islands. He floated in the water for 14 hours.
Oh, good Lord.
One of our heroes.
Yeah.
You're made of good stuff.
Yep, that's fantastic. That's special. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Rusty.
Rusty, what possession or keepsake do you have from a deceased family member?
I have a couple things. I have my grandfather's model 1911 from World War One, and his Purple Heart from World War One.
Wow. Very nice.
It's all original. And then I have my father's Rolex presidential day date that he willed to me, but his evil wife made me buy after he died.
Oh, you're kidding me!
No, I'm not making that up, brother, guys.
She shook you down, did she?
She shook me down, and I've already told my nephew, because he's the only son in our family, that I'm going to give it to him.
That is, wow. If you don't mind me asking, what did she shake you down for?
$8,000. It's a 1981 presidential with a burled walnut face.
I was about ready.
They don't even make that watch anymore.
When I heard that, I was about ready to cuss. She could have at least given you a better deal.
No, she knew.
I wish she would have.
No, she knew she had.
Yeah, she knew she had you.
It was the only thing my dad wanted me to have, and I had to pay for it.
Unbelievable.
A witch.
There's evil everywhere. If there's good people, there's evil people, because you wouldn't know who a good person was if there wasn't that evil one stabbing you. That's unbelievable.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day's a gift.
96K Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.